Thank you, everyone, for listening to Thank You for Being a Podcast. We are the Golden Girls Podcast, where we recap an episode of the Golden Girls, starting from season one to the very last episode. I am Anthony DeSamito.
And I'm Genevieve Rice.
And today we have a very special guest. I'm very excited to have him, Mr. Matt Micheletti.
Thank you guys for having me.
You're welcome. How are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Very good. Yeah. Can't complain.
That's good.
Thank you for being here again. So, Matt, tell us a little bit about your Golden Girls background, if you will.
Sure. I have a very limited Golden Girls background. My parents didn't really let me watch a whole lot of TV when I was a kid. So,
no.
Yeah, so I really, when it was with my Nana, my grandmother on my father's side, we would watch Nick at Night and like TV Land at her place. And there was a lot of Golden Girls and Three's Company and stuff like that. So
you didn't watch like South Park or anything else that was happening at the time?
Like... No, I honestly didn't watch, I didn't see MTV until I was like a junior in high school.
Oh, no, wow. Same thing with me. Yeah, I didn't see MTV until I was like in college. Yeah, I was like, my mom was like very against like Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah.
So was your family just religious or they just didn't like?
No, we never went to church or anything. My parents were both raised Catholic, but we never went to church. So it was just kind of like a very strict, you know, household.
So do they watch TV now?
Now
they're like, wow, TV's great.
Why did we hell out of CSI and all the spin-offs. Oh, yeah.
So now it's like, where was this when I was a kid? Why can't I watch CSI?
I also think it's kind of hypocritical. I couldn't watch the Golden Girls, but like now they're all into TV and watching people get shot and murdered on CSI.
It's murdered very graphically, like all the time.
So like in growing up, you were like, did you know that you were missing out on stuff? Did you feel that way? Or were you like, I'm good with Golden Girls and All in the Family and all that stuff?
No, I would often, when I went to my friends' houses, I would watch TV. So it wasn't like I was, a sheltered Mormon kid or something. But like, no, I definitely enjoyed TV when I got to see it. Yeah.
I've heard stories of like my Mormon friends growing up, they would be like, so the other day, I snuck into the shed and listened to the radio. Like, and I'm just like, what? And then they'd be like, yeah, like it was exciting for them to Beach Boys was you're being like crazy risque, rebellious.
One time, I drank some coffee. Had some soda.
I walked by someone smoking a cigarette and I inhaled it.
Oh,
oh, great. Okay, so we watched.
Sorry to our Mormon friends.
Sorry, Mormon friends. You guys want to smoke and drink coffee. Secondhand smoke. So we watched an awesome episode of The Golden Girls today. We're still on season one, guys, just to let you know. And it was an episode that we couldn't find online, a good episode to watch. We found one that was sped up like 10% to super blurry. And it was horrible.
And it also had a weird gold frame.
Around the whole thing. That's awesome.
It had like the friend's door, like peephole frame around it for some reason. Maybe it'll help you, make you feel like you're watching Friends or something. But for some reason, iTunes skips this episode. We theorize that it's probably because it's too risque, because there's cheating in it. But the episode was called That Was No Lady. The original air date is December 21, 1985.
So this is a Christmas episode.
Yeah, this is an episode for the whole family.
Yes. Adultery and sham car sales.
Right before you see your family, you want to get a good old dose of adultery in your eggnog. And so... So the episode was called That Was No Lady, which I didn't understand the episode title.
None of us did.
No.
And I did some research and I found out that it's based off a joke, and it's that one joke, who's yelling at the ref? Who's that fucked up joke again? Who's that lady yelling at the ref? Oh, that's no lady. That's my wife. And so that's the joke that this is based off of. But so I don't know if they were like, who's that lady cheating on my husband? I don't know. I don't know. I didn't get it. It didn't make sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's that lady fucking my husband? That's no lady. That's B. Arthur. Is that what that means?
She's got a deep voice, guys.
And so, Genevieve, would you like to give us a synopsis of the episode?
I would. So, Dorothy is very excited because she met a man, and she's all aglow, and she starts dating him, and 3 weeks in, she finds out, gasp, he's cheating on her with his own wife. He's married, you guys.
Oh, no.
He's married. And she's very upset, and she breaks up with him, but then she starts going out with him again because it's too sweet. Too sweet.
Too sweet of a dick.
Too sweet of a dick. And and then also Blanche tries to sell Rose her car, and it does not go great.
Yay. Thank you, Genevieve. Yay. Okay. So the episode starts off with Rose and Sophia are in the lanai, and they're playing what I think it's Trivial Pursuit. Mm-hmm. Was that?
Yeah, I think so.
Is that the game that they're playing? Is there like game pieces that you move for Trivial Pursuit? Because I've never played it.
Yeah, there's like a wheel with little wedges in it that you move around and score pieces for the wheel.
And then you dice and all that stuff. Because Sophia was like blowing the dice like it was like Las Vegas. I'm like, okay.
She does that all the time with dice. That's her dice move.
Luck that was no lady tonight. Rose says, like, who is the fastest human being in history? And Sophia says, Dominic Tansy. And she's like, no, it's Jesse Owens. And Sophia's like, Dominic Tansy, believe me, he got 4 women pregnant in one night. It is for real, Tim. to be fair, it didn't say what, like, the fastest running, you know.
I want to see more of, like, Sophia's, like, very Italian, like, answers to every single,
They were playing Italian Trivial Pursuit, where you just, the answer is just someone you know, apparently.
I think Italian Trivial Pursuit is where you just end up stabbing someone with the board at the very end. Italian Trivial Pursuit.
You just like fight over pepperoni and
yeah, exactly. Very stereotypical Italian things.
Hey, the answer was the right. Come on now. But yeah, 4 women in one night, that's pretty awesome. I don't think that's... Oh, she said 2 in New Jersey, 2 in New York.
That's a lot of mileage.
That's a lot of mileage. Yeah. That's...
He got it
that's
done.
That's a long night. Like, he... That's like a 45-minute train ride.
Yeah, definitely. It was before cars.
Assuming he rides a train.
Oh, I think he definitely rides a train.
Or, I don't know.
This is not a motor car, gentlemen.
Right.
No.
And he had to spread it out because, like, after so much sex, you start shooting blanks. And so you really have to.
We're getting very scientific.
Yeah, maybe he was just like an artificial inseminator. You don't know that. And so doing the graveyard shift, he's like, I got two clients and
I got 4 ladies to baste in 2 states.
And so Blanche comes in and she's so excited. She's like, guess what? I did something that I've been talking about for years, because they've known each other that long, right? Like, they've known each other like a year.
Yeah.
And so, and then she's like, I'm finally getting a new car. And she's super calm. She like brings out like the
brochure,
poster.
Yeah.
the car poster out to show over the Trivial Pursuit game. And she's just like, I'm going to, but Sophia first is like, she says, what is it? Put a trapeze over your bed.
And she thinks about it. Yeah. She's like, oh, I have a new dream.
She legit thinks about jumping on a guy's dick from a trapeze, like in her head.
And she's got a whole idea of like lion tamers.
Whips cracking.
definitely a malnourished elephant in that fantasy.
Malnourished elephant. Some animal abuse going on.
It's like the state fair animal tents in her bedroom. At all times.
She dreamed up an entire circus. Yeah. Bearded woman, everything. Sophia just suggests you should sell the car to Rose because she needs a car. Because Blanche needs to sell her car in order to get a car, right? Mm. And so she needs to she says, no, I can't sell to my friend. Blanche says that. My granddaddy said that there's two things you don't do. You don't sell a car to a friend, and you don't sell a slave to a friend. A slave? What the fuck?
She said slave like way too casually.
Yeah, it was just really like 1 minute into the show, a slave joke. Like,
yeah, it was like looking back from like recent television, it was like if Sex and the City had very subtle racism inserted all over the place, and one of their moms was there, it would be the Golden Girls. And I was like, wow, this is right. This is amazing.
Like if Samantha's like mom, or if Samantha was from the South, because right. I think like they modeled Samantha from Sex and the City after Blanche.
Yeah.
Right. That makes sense. Right. I mean, she was really sexual and anyway, but she wasn't from the South, but who knows what have you. It was very abrupt. And so I don't know why she said that that's something her granddaddy said. And I'm like, Why are you gonna continue this phrase? Like, why are you like gonna like continue to repeat that to your, and nobody says anything, like it's wrong.
Well, okay. The car part was legit of that.
Yeah.
Maybe no, yeah. And maybe the slave part is legit. Yeah. So we don't know. Maybe it's just maybe it is good advice. I have not
right.
I have not dealt in slaves.
Right.
I hope not. But
the thing is, like, what that's really saying is, like, don't sell a shitty car to someone. So that means don't sell a shitty slave to someone. Yeah. Like, don't sell that. That's what she's saying. Like, don't, like, if you know a slave has, like, a limp leg or they cry a lot, like, don't sell that slave.
cry a lot. What?
And so. Like if something's wrong with it, you know. And so I mean that, I think that's what they were thinking back then. Anyway, we just lost a bunch of listeners. It's cool. And so
we here do not condone slave trade.
We're just analyzing the slave trade.
Hey, if you're going to trade slaves, be good at it.
Yeah. Don't trade shitty slaves. Okay.
It's like pogs, pretty much.
Like pogs, yeah. Yeah. Just trade the big thick ones.
Right.
And then Rose is like, whoa, I don't want your car, yo. Like your car like says available. I want something that says practical. And then Blanche is like, well then just remove the license plate. Great joke.
Oh, pretty good. Great. Blanche.
And I thought that was a really good joke, but no one laughed. Like, the audience didn't laugh. And I was just like, oh, that was like.
Maybe they were just like, oh, well, okay, good. She's going to keep her personalized plates on the new car. That's good.
You know what I thought? Yeah.
She's doing her. That's good.
Right. I think it was a slave joke. I think, like, people were just still not over that.
Wow, that wasn't too. That was like two generations ago for you.
Yeah. Oh. For you, Blanche. Okay, and so then she says, "I'm not gonna sell you the car." And then she turns around and says, for how much will you give me? And so she's already planning on selling off, like, the car to Rose. And so so then this gets interrupted by Dorothy. She comes in and she's like, super happy and swooning, and she's just like, I'm going on a date, I'm so in love, and her like crotch is on fire, like for real. Like, she's like,
this is before Life Alert too, so she's screwed.
It's really scary. Yeah. And so she says, oh, she comes in, she's like, Blanche, give me a manicure. Rose, give me your pearls. Ma, you get off my back. I'm going on a date tonight with a man, and he's not Italian. And then and they're like, who is it? His name is Glenn. Oh, she goes, his name is Glenn O'Brien.
She's the most excited about an Irish man anyone's ever met.
Yes. And he didn't sound Irish. He didn't look, I don't know. Like, he just didn't. He seemed Italian. You know, he seemed like, he talked just like Dorothy. Like, which is really awkward.
I think their duo is what got cigarette ads to be banned on TV.
Maybe the iTunes didn't want to promote smoking.
Yeah.
And so that's why they didn't. Episode.
Or lying about being Irish.
Glenn O'Brien was not his name. But she says he's a gorgeous gym teacher. And I'm like, so I was expecting like this ripped guy. But when we saw him, it was this guy with like pants up to his, like, over his waist.
His defense, he looked like he's probably about what, late 50s, like early 60s. He kind of had that like classic like older man fitness where it was like, where it's like he has like the big shoulders and like the high waist. It's like,
right,
it wasn't so much ripped, it was like a flat like barrel chest kind of thing.
Very efficient at opening pickle jars.
Right, probably. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Like, I'm gonna, yeah, so
like a Jack LaLanne is the word I was looking for.
Okay, that's fair enough, right? Okay. And so then she says, like, I saw him standing in line getting food, and I pushed 25 students out of the way to get some dick in a fucking junior high or some shit. Like, she's like, I fucking, like, needed to talk to this man, like, because I, like, she just knew that that
that's
was
the place
him.
To pick up ladies is the school cafeteria where you have to stand in line with the students. Not even like some like private teacher lounge or or something like that. Just
it's going down the lunch line.
We're it's gonna like, get some Salisbury steak,
some baked potato. That's a good school. They're selling Salisbury steak.
Do you think it's still sweet if he bought her lunch?
Maybe the teachers are getting that. What was that?
You think it's sweet if he bought her lunch like back in the day? You know?
Right. It was like, don't 75 worry, I got this cents.
That'll be 75 cents.
It's been subsidized by the state, so it's free.
Some lunch vouchers in my
Could
pocket.
You sell two chocolate milks?
Dude, you know they like fuck that day when they met. They were just take me into the cafeteria freezer. And fuck the hell out of me. You know they had sex in that school somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They must have.
For sure.
Dusty medicine ball in a cabinet somewhere. They just roll it out.
That was his nickname for her. You dusty medicine ball.
It's not dusty no more.
But for reals, like, they were cheating on each other. Like, not, they were cheating. He was cheating on her, his wife with her. Like, they must have hooked up in that school because they're like, we don't want to pay for a hotel tonight. We lunch. Let's go to my car. I'll blow you real quick. Like,
it's still Miami in the 90s. It's Miami. Expensive. Yeah.
It's expensive.
Oh, man.
You can't go to the no-tell motel every night, you know. Sometimes you just
sex in Miami must be the worst, though.
Oh, and it's hot and
it's
humid.
Yeah, hot. It's always hot. Humid.
Humid. Yeah. No car banging. Well, unless you're in the bang bus. Right.
And they're both tall people.
Right. Yeah. So they were like in that high school parking lot, like bumping dirties and in the heat. Oh, that's not pretty.
We're sorry, guys.
Or the gym.
Talking about slavery. B. Arthur Carr sex. Dusty medicine bottle.
And so Dorothy's like dignitized for real. And then Blanche is like, "You've been hit by the thunder." And then I've been hit by the thunder once. And then Sophia's like, "You've been hit by the thunder more times than the World Trade Center."
And maybe that's why the episode got skipped on iTunes.
What? Me?
Yeah.
You might be right. It's the 9/11. He solved the problem. The mystery.
The Illuminati got a hold of Apple. They were just like, no, this episode is not happening.
They find phrase every episode of the Golden Girls to find the words World Trade Center. Transcripts were like sent through the NSA.
Sent Jason Bourne. Yeah. Matt Damon showed up on the producer's doorstep.
We solved it, guys.
Okay.
We're on to
Can't have a World Trade Center joke. And then Rose
goes into this whole thing about I was hit once by lightning too, and it was by when me and my ex-husband, he's passed, Charlie, met when I was 7. Her late husband, that's how you say it. Thank you. That's how you say words. And so we met when we were 7 and 8 years old, and he had a little stand in front of the yard, and Blanche is like, "Oh, he was selling lemonade, no insurance." And so she bought insurance for her wagon, but then pigs destroyed it and trampled it, and she thinks that it was smoked ham.
That she was carrying home in that wagon.
Yeah. And I wasn't sure if it was like the pigs were wanting the ham or they were mad that one of their own were murdered.
Who knows what pigs want?
So that was horrible. And then she was like, that confused me. I was like, why would the pigs want ham? I mean, pigs would eat ham if you gave it to them, right?
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
Okay.
I think pigs eat pretty much anything.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so gross. Oh, poor pigs. Anyway, so
that's the beauty of pigs.
So she deserved. She was carrying smoked ham in front of pigs.
Yeah.
If she was that near them, then that's her fault.
She's 7.
She's 7 years old.
She's 7. Yeah. How far was she hauling this smoked ham?
Right.
I just like imagine you're like going across like the Minnesota like tundra, right. Like hauling this ham.
Right. What I'm thinking later is that the car got stolen by pigs. They are still out to get her, and they still are dealing with insurance. I don't know. Something was weird about like having insurance come up twice. That I think the joke separated at
it's
one
like
point.
An Easter egg hidden in there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cannibal pigs. Okay.
But the point is, he paid the policy.
Yeah.
He paid for a new wagon, even though her policy did not cover
that's
access
a classy
line.
Move.
Right.
Access which is swine. Right.
Which is really Charlie Brown-ish because, you know, like Lucy has the psychiatrist 5 cents kind of deal. That's what I thought about. And so then the next scene is Glenn and Dorothy at a motel. Yeah, and it's like this huge, it's a huge motel. We see that it's like giant. Then
it's not a cheap one.
It's not, it's not, it's a very nice motel. Mm-hmm. And so they day fucked because it's daylight. And so then Dorothy's like looking in the mirror and she's like, these past 3 weeks have been great. 3 weeks of day fucking. I've never day fucked. I haven't day fucked in years. And he's like, really? And then she's like, yeah, like, because things, you know, you get worried about what you look like during the day, what jiggles or not, what your voice sounds like. Which I don't know how to do anything about.
Bea Arthur's voice like went down two octaves.
Yeah. Like, she like. Yeah. And so then he's like, then they're just like being super romantic, and it's like high school romantic. It's like way too romantic. Like, they're just, she, from the get go, she's like way too in love, which means, you know,
she's in for a crash.
She's in for a crash, because in a sitcom, the worst thing that can happen will happen. And that's like the rule, right?
Right.
So, and so then, Glenn, like, he's older, but I don't know, something just was, she painted him to seem really hot. I didn't think he was too hot for a gym teacher. But
you want to kick him out of bed.
Right. You want to kick him out of bed? Okay, cool.
He's got tenure, and that's why he's still there.
Tenure.
Tenure.
Right.
That's some junior high.
I've been
the
gym teacher since Eisenhower. Can't fire me.
Oh man. Eisenhower equals tenure. And so, oh, then she's like, does my breath smell? And he's like, let me see. And then he kisses her and he says, no, it's fine.
That's when he tells her he's married.
Right. That's for real. Then he's like, okay, I have something to tell you. And then she's like on him, like on his fucking shit, like cuddling with him while they're sitting. And then she's like, what, tell me, what are you gonna tell me? And then he's like, I'm married. And she's like, she just starts freaking out, what, you fucking lied. And she starts like grabbing shit and she's trying to get out. She doesn't even know where the exit is. She's completely like messed up, and which I don't even like, I don't understand, like, this is what got me. It was like, you've been dating for 3 weeks and you haven't been to his house. You've been fucking at a motel for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
It doesn't cross your mind that he has a wife, that he's cheating on you, like that, or cheating on his wife, or something's up. You don't question that. Why are you going to a motel? They could have said, like, right? Like,
yeah.
They could have said something like, oh, there's bed bugs in my house, so we can't go there. Anything, any excuse.
We gotta spend $70 for this room.
Yeah, like
maybe they weren't seeing each other a whole lot at night, and that's how they fucked in at school all the time. They just got busy during school hours, and
so maybe didn't have the urge. They were on the clock when this happened.
Possibly.
Maybe they left campus to go fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that could, I mean, that could explain a lot.
They were talking about like ditching school and going to the Bahamas.
Oh, so they were ditching school. Okay, so that could explain a lot.
Truancy.
But still doesn't explain why she never went to his house, you know, like,
yeah.
Or why didn't she say also, why don't you come to my house to fuck? Like, why did we have to get a hotel? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Like, the rest of the girls didn't know about him too much at that point, you know, his bad side. So yeah, that's a good point.
And so and yeah, like the girls bring guys home. It's not an unusual thing, especially if she's saying that I'm in love, you know, and stuff like that. So like, you would expect, like, there was no reason for them to get a hotel. They should have just fucked at Dorothy's, you know. Unless it was during school time.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so that was my complaint about that. And so, so then she's like, your children are over 30, whatever. And like, there's no reason why. He's like, I couldn't leave. He says, I can't leave her. I stayed for the kids and they're over 30, which is like BS, right? Yeah. Yeah, and so obviously he
No good, O'Brien. Yeah. No good.
Yeah, he's
that
not...
That is your real name, which is not...
Right. Which also leads... Like, if he... Okay, if he's fucking someone, and maybe he thought Dorothy was married too, if they're both agreeable on being in a hotel for 3 weeks, mm-hmm. like, fucking, like, maybe he thought, you know, that she was up to something too. I don't know. And also... Why didn't anyone at the school tell her that he's married? Or why couldn't she find out?
Hmm.
Oh. Like,
well, she's a substitute.
So she's not allowed in the teacher's lounge?
Or maybe she said she just met him. She said she just saw him and got behind him. And then they started talking. And then she said he was practically a stranger.
Oh, is
There's
that what
no
she said?
There's no Facebook back then.
That's true.
So you couldn't.
Yeah. But if she was head over heels about him, she would have talked about
I don't know, but like a workplace romance,
you don't talk about.
You probably can't talk about it. She'd probably get fired.
Yeah, especially at a school. Yeah,
if you're a sub.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't. Your teachers don't exactly talk about who they're banging. Who's also on staff. Didn't come up in many of my classes.
Right. But she couldn't have been too surprised. She couldn't have been too surprised because she never went to his house. That's like the number one thing. Like when I date a guy and like I think he's cheating on me or someone's cheating or he's like got a boyfriend on the side, some dirty on the side, I'm like, I'm going to meet your friends. I'm going to become friends with you on Facebook. I'm going to figure it out. Like, you know, because it's happened to me before. Like you find out really easily, like nowadays because of Facebook, but also like, like, oh, you're going to karaoke? Where at? And then you just show up. And then his friends are there. And then you find out everything about him, right? Nobody does that? Or is it just me? I'm crazy.
They didn't have karaoke back then.
No.
It's a dark time.
And so the next scene, Blanche and Sophia are chilling in the living room. And Rose comes in and she's like, there's noise in the car. Your car is making a noise. And then Blanche is like, oh, don't worry about it. She kind of just like says, she kind of tries to brush it off. Like, don't
ask any more questions.
Don't go to the mechanic. Yeah. Don't, you know, if you go to the mechanic, they're just going to charge you more money. Like, that's how they make their money. And Rose sort of falls for that. You know, she's like, oh, you're right. They're just going to charge me money, you know? And then...
No, Rose.
Yeah.
No. No.
And so then Sophia is just like... She does the whole... Rose is like, the car is wheezing and coughing. And then Sophia's like, it sounds like Joey Triani, you know? I don't even remember what that was about.
That was basically his exact body condition.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh yeah.
It was how he sounded when he was being wheeled out in a gurney.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So death is all around Sophia.
Yeah, Sophia just referencing the
other horrible Italian
more Italian trivia pursuit.
A velour suit filled with Crisco, just something disgusting.
So then Sophia leaves and Glenn calls. Well, they think it's Glenn. And Rose answers the phone. And oh, by the way, Blanche is doing her nails.
I don't think Rose is allowed to answer the phone normally.
But Blanche couldn't because she was doing her nails.
Yeah.
And so
she's doing them like kind of not very safely. Like she's not doing them with anything underneath. I'm like, are you going to get something on that couch? Yeah, she isn't.
She's just like very cartoony doing her nails.
She's
like
pretending.
Maybe she is.
Yeah.
I mean, she's trying to psych her out because she's nervous about the car. I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like Blanche's role in this entire episode is just long con.
Yeah. 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 So this is like a long scene where like Rose and Blanche have a conversation about the car. It's not working. And then the phone rings and Rose thinks it's Glenn because Glenn's been calling forever because apparently Dorothy broke up with him. That's how she left. she left the hotel abruptly. She's mm-hmm. like, fuck this shit. Yo, this dick ain't worth like my morals and shit. High and mighty. That's what she does. And so they're like, so they're trying to play that game where, like, you know, you don't answer, you hang up on Glenn and shit. And so Rose answers the phone and she's like, Dorothy doesn't want to see you. Like, what did she say?
Dorothy's not home and she's not coming home ever again.
Oh, yeah. Stop calling her. She's not coming home ever again.
Yeah.
And so then it's Dr. Yamamoto. She's like, it's who's the school district person.
And you can smell the racism that's coming.
Right, right. Yeah. Like the head of the school district is going to call. Like a secretary does that, right? And so then... So the head of the school district is calling Dorothy to book her, mm-hmm. basically.
I got a gig for it, Dorothy.
You want to do this math show? Like, I don't know.
You're gonna
like
headline 8 periods of math.
And then she's like, Rose is like, I thought you were the man that Dorothy's having an affair with. The man that Dorothy says that he's always so fair with her. And so.
Good save, Rose.
Yeah.
Great save.
Right. And Dr. Yamamoto's an idiot, I guess, because he bought it. And she's like, I'm so glad that you guys have a Disneyland now.
No.
And I was just like, what the fuck? Like they're talking about Tokyo Disneyland, right?
Yeah.
Like, because it just opened that.
She's like, yeah. And you guys are totally good drivers. You guys are great.
At right?
I don't mind your slanty eyes.
So already, like slave joke, like, Sophia doesn't approve of non-Italians. And then, like, Rose totally disses Asians. It's like this. Yeah, it's 1985, people. Fake Irishman. Yeah. And so
this is. I think we figured out why this is a hot button episode. This is the World Trade Center.
Yeah, World Trade Center.
This is the 9/11 of Golden Girls episodes.
The black sheep.
Not even to mention the adultery.
Yeah. The badly timed adultery during the day. And so then Dorothy comes in, and then Rose is like, I just like totally made a racist joke to your boss, by the way. Like, and he wants you to go back to work. And she's like, for real, she's like that heartbroken that she can't go back to work. Like, I don't know. Dorothy's like a strong character. I don't know why she falls
very
so
depressed. Yeah.
Yeah. Why did this?
There are other schools, Dorothy. I mean, it's from a district.
Yeah, the only. She doesn't. Yeah, you're right. Like, they didn't even say which school. Like, they didn't say, I'm not ready to go back to school at all. It's not like she's going to go see him. I mean, she could say, like, I don't want to do that school. Can somebody, you know.
She'd be like, I'm too brokenhearted.
Too heartbroken, doctor.
Too brokenhearted to substitute.
Dr. Yamamoto.
And you know, since it's 1985, it's on like carbon paper triplicate form with an actual reason box that she has to fill in.
Heartbrokenness.
She gets to keep the yellow like piece of paper as a reminder.
One of them is Pac-Man fever.
And so then Dorothy's like, it's been a week. Because we've been together for 3 weeks, so that warrants being heartbroken. Because,
3 week relationship.
Yeah, right.
She was
thunderbolted, right? And so then Rose, that's when Rose starts being like really moral and shit. And she's like,
Dorothy, like, you need to forget about him. He was cheating on his wife. And then she's like, I can't just forget about him, Rose. And then Blanche is like, totally like, you know what? Like, you need to get back with him. Like, doing her nails. Like, he was good. And then he was good for she's good dick. And then Rose is like, what? Like, you don't, like, no, you got it all wrong, Blanche. And Blanche is like, you don't understand, Rose. Sometimes, like, that's the line that stood out for me was like, sometimes life doesn't turn out the way you think it will, and you have to get your happiness where you can. And I was just like, whoa, deep shit, Blanche. Like,
wow, it's pretty dark.
Yeah, yeah. Which is no excuse. It's not an excuse to be a mistress. It's not an excuse to cheat. Like, no, there's adult.
Sometimes you gotta settle. That was basically what Blanche was very sweetly saying while doing her nails. Sometimes you gotta settle. Sometimes you gotta try to cheat your friend out of a car, out of a working car.
But then she's like, then Blanche says, if they're not hurting anybody and they're being realistic and discreet, who are they really hurting? And then Dorothy says, no one. And then I'm like, who are they? Not? They're hurting someone. The wife is being hurt. Mm-hmm. Like, the kids are being hurt. Like, there is a lot of people being hurt.
The gym students are probably being hurt.
The gym students are being hurt.
He's making them climb that fucking rope every day.
Yeah, the hotel management is being hurt. Everybody's going, and then you're hurting your family, which is the Golden Girls.
This is what Reagan talked about with the trickle-down economy.
You know? Raven?
I just ate it. Reagan.
Reagan.
Oh, they said Raven, like, Raven. That's so Raven.
That's so Reagan.
That's so Reagan. That would have been the best show. Ronald Reagan with, like, braids. With
braids, yeah.
That's a Reagan. Right. And then
Oliver North. That's a Reagan.
Yeah. And the economy was doing pretty good back then because we had to do this research earlier. And the only people that were losing money were the rich. And so, And so then she's like, I mean, okay, to be fair, Rose is acting. Oh, she's overreacting a little bit. She's just like, you gotta forget about him. Like she's just kind of harsh a little bit, you know, like there's ways to say things a little better, mm-hmm. you know, like, you know, maybe he's not the, you know, let's talk about this, you know, but you know, so I don't know. Okay.
And maybe she's upset because she can't say anything about the car. She's got this weird car.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
She's acting out. She's like, I've tried to say something. It's not working. The
guilt,
so,
yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just going to seize on this.
But then Blanche is like totally moralist. She's like, I'm fucking selling a shitty car to a friend. And then I'm going to tell my friend to be a mistress. And she's going to sit there paint her nails.
Blanche is very powerful in this episode.
Yeah. Yeah. She's just like, whatever. Yeah. Yeah. I got money. I got shit to do.
got cool nails.
Right. I got some cool nails. Yeah. And so, yeah. And so that speech was really convoluted. I was just like, whatever. And then Rose is like, that's not the way you should be. Like that's how like my friends' relationships didn't work out. Mm-hmm. That's how Debbie and Eddie broke up, and Eddie and Liz and
she's talking about celebrities.
Yeah, she's was it celebrities?
Yeah, it was like Debbie Reynolds and Eddie Fisher and
I did not catch that.
Dean Martin and somebody else. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And then Dorothy says, "Shut the fuck up."
Which is my favorite line in the entire series.
Yeah. Rose, shut up. And so then they're like, oh, okay, well, let's go. I'm going to go make dinner, Blanche says. Like, she just
like her nails are dry all of a sudden, and so she gets
been dry for hours.
TV magic. Yeah, TV magic. My nails are dry.
Gonna go make dinner.
And so then Dorothy's alone in the room, and the phone rings, and it's not the Dr. Yamamoto. It's Glenn, and then she basically says, "I miss you," and then Rose comes in, and she's like.
She called him.
Oh, no way. Okay, yeah. I missed that. Okay.
She waited like literally like 10 seconds, like maybe like 5-10 seconds, yeah. And then she goes, "Hello, Glenn." She right. shouts, "Glenn."
Yeah. Right. So she does the 90s move where you take the rotary phone and pull it behind you so nobody yeah. can see you. So it's
that means you're invisible.
I'm in my booth right now.
What didn't? Oh, but he called her. While they were sitting together and they were yeah. like yelling in her ear
yeah,
what
to say.
Yeah,
that was separate. That was before.
Yeah, that was right before that. Before. I forgot about that. And then Rose is like, don't get back with him, you bed hopper. And then Blanche is like, hop. And I'm like, dude, like you're not being quiet. He could probably hear you.
He can hear you.
Totally legit hear you.
He's like, your friends are dicks.
Yeah. Your friends are right. And so she tells him, I want to get back with you. Rose catches her, but she pretends she's talking to Dr. Yamamoto and hangs up. And so then the next scene is Dorothy comes in. It's nighttime. Rose, she comes into the house, into the living room, and Rose is coming out of the kitchen. And Rose,
it's late night.
Late
yeah.
night.
Yeah,
late night. Late. They went and they fucked somewhere in the hotel, probably, or in a parking lot. At the high school where they used to fucking
dusty medicine ball.
Dusty medicine ball. They probably use a dusty medicine ball to have sex and other dusty equipment. And so Rose and Dorothy have this conversation like where you been, and she's like, I was with Glenn. And I'm like, Dorothy's like really bad at hiding like bad things she's doing, because she just straight up says, I'm back with Glenn, like yeah. you know, like
deal with know. it.
Yeah. I would be like, I was out with a new guy or something, you know, just so you don't start drama, because you know,
pottery class
you know, water surfing, whatever. I was in Miami. I have shit to do. And so I see.
Salsa competition.
Selling insurance to little children for their wagons. And so then Blanche and Rose, Rose and Dorothy, they're like, whatever. And so Rose goes into the kitchen. Dorothy goes into the kitchen. She's like, all right, I'll eat something. I didn't get a lot to eat because I was nervous. And then she's like, that's right, you were nervous because you're a mistress. And she just gives her shit. Like, keeps, like, Rose doesn't stop. Like, she's, like,
yeah,
totally, like, being a total moral queen, which is super yeah. annoying. I think, you know, one thing is to disagree on what somebody's doing, but then to, like, push it, you know?
In fairness, she's been with, like, two people.
Yeah.
I think in this, well, three people. Yeah, because,
people?
Maybe three, yeah, something like
so. Rose or Dorothy.
Rose
has.
Rose is, yeah. So I don't know if right. she's not super experienced.
Right. Yeah. Definitely not. And so I don't know. She's just thinking in terms of. I mean, she's doing the right thing, I guess. Telling your friend. A lot of us don't tell our friend they're doing something wrong just because.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to start.
She's also
stuff.
The one that went into like a tailspin after yeah. the robbery and then like bought a gun.
Yeah. There was an episode where Rose like totally just
goes insane.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She buys a gun and she, because they got robbed, and she shoots at Blanche, and it was just
oh yeah. And then
she's very sensitive and very emotional, and so I don't know. Everyone is just really annoying in this episode for me. But like, Rose is annoying, Dorothy's annoying, Blanche is anyway. Like, everybody was just like, their annoying level was super high for me. Anyway. And so then Blanche comes in and she's like, she's hungry too. And so then they start talking about like married men. And then Blanche is like, Dorothy's like, you don't know what this is like. And then at least Blanche knows what I'm going through. And then Blanche is like, I've never been with a married man. And I'm like, and then they're like, get out of here. Yeah. And for me, that was like there's been, up to that point, there's been so many jokes about Blanche being a mistress. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was weird.
That it was really weird that they decided for her character not to be a mistress anymore all of a sudden.
She's just like, I'm just going to lie about this.
Yeah. Right. Just today. Earlier she's like saying cheat on someone, you know, she sort of flip-flops in that sense.
Yeah.
Right? And so, I mean, there's been jokes where like Blanche is sleeping and Dorothy wakes her up by saying, she's gonna be home soon, so you better get out, you better go home. And she wakes up, like, that's how she wakes up, is by a man telling her that. And like, and so like, I don't know, so it didn't make sense that she wasn't a mistress at any point.
Yeah, also like her reasons for not dating a married man were very pragmatic.
Oh yeah.
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 I mean, it was just like, oh yeah, you know, they buy the mistress, you know,
all the expensive gifts.
Right. Yeah, the wife gets the more expensive gifts. Yeah.
Right. Like, they heighten the materialistic level of her reasoning.
But
right?
She has a point.
She does have a good point, and that is very true. Yeah. And so Sophia comes in and she's like, so I heard you are back with that married man. And then Dorothy's like, yeah, Ma, what were you listening on our conversation or something? And then she's like, oh, I can't. You can fucking give your pussy to a married man, but I can't fucking put my ear to a door. And then she's like, not in those exact words, but
those exact words, those guys. This is why this episode happened. Sophia kept it raw.
You bring a dusty medicine ball on the side. And then she's like, I raised you not to be a floozy. And
oh, she said the F word, guys.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. And she walks out, and like, yeah, that would make me wanna not be a mistress.
Yeah, I'm not mad, but I'm disappointed, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, that's the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like when my mom caught me like stealing something from a store, she was like, I'm not mad, I'm disappointed, and that's the worst, because you're just like, oh fuck. Like, this
emotional limbo that you're caught in.
Right. Yeah. There's no going back. Only time can heal and have them trust you again, that kind of thing.
Like,
fuck majorly, you know, that kind of thing. And so the next scene, Sophia's in the lanai and she's like laying there and she puts on headphones and she starts listening to Purple Rain. She's like, and she sings it like horribly, like she's like
she really mangles the fuck out of Prince.
She's like, Purple Rain, and then like, and then starts air guitaring.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
You got to stick to public domain Italian songs, Sophia.
Right.
That's all I've seen her sing on the show.
Right. She needs to stick to, like, When the Moon Hits.
Yeah, Mi Amore.
Mi Amore.
It's a big jump from Dean Martin to Prince.
Yeah. Very so, I don't know. She likes the Filipino man. Is he Filipino? I'm just assuming because he's short. And so,
what?
What?
I don't know. What ethnicity is Prince?
I think he's black.
Is he black?
He's from Minnesota.
Oh, he is. He?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he has a compound in Minnesota.
Oh. Okay, a compound. Okay, and so then what happens next? Rose and Blanche come in. Well, Rose comes in from the door, the gate, and then Blanche comes in from the other side. And then they have the argument about the car. Like, the car is fucking up. Rose doesn't even get a chance to say something. She just says, Blanche, the car. And then Blanche is like, I need to tell you something. I've been dying over guilt. Like, the guilt's been killing me that I can't sell you this car because it's fucked up.
Right.
Right. Which before, like, she was totally guiltless. Like, she didn't care, you know. And now all of a sudden, she feels bad. That didn't make sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so then Rose is like, Rose doesn't get to say anything yet. But Blanche is like, I was going to cheat you, basically. I was going to like sell the car. I needed to sell the car full price because I took it to some dealership and they wouldn't give me all the full money. And so then Rose is like, you were going to cheat me? Well, then she says, oh, someone stole the car. Like, just doesn't...
Nonchalantly, yeah.
Doesn't explain how, where, who, why.
And nobody's disappointed either.
What time?
Yeah. How far has she been walking? Like, where did she go?
Why didn't she call? Like, why isn't she more distraught? Like,
if it was from a neighborhood, that's, like, troubling.
Yeah.
Someone stole it out of your driveway?
Or she, knowing Rose, she misplaced the car. Like, it's still somewhere else. Or just, like, what happened? And then Sophia's like, apparently she was listening. And so she's like, was it insured? And then Blanche is like, yes, it was. But, like, theft insurance is different than other types of insurance, like liability or, you know, glass insurance. You know, there's different types of insurance. Like, theft insurance is a little different. Like, Sophia just assumes that she
had comprehensive coverage.
Comprehensive?
Sure. Is it comprehensive? Or is it liability is accidents?
Comprehensive is when they... They fuck up your shit, I think. Liability is when you fuck up their shit.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Liability is like the lowest you can get.
Yeah.
Right. That's all it's when you fuck up their shit.
Yeah.
So anyway, if you know about insurance, listeners, let us instruct us what.
We want to get so many messages about insurance.
Trying to break into that State Farm market, you know.
And so then she's like, oh, I'll get full price if the insurance covers it. Okay, cool. And so then she leaves. Problem solved in 2 minutes. It's just really And so then they leave, and Dorothy comes in. She's like, Ma, where are my shoes? like Dorothy has only one pair of shoes or something, or she hid all, or Sophia hid all her shoes.
Probably would probably hide her shoes.
That's a lot of shoes, I feel.
Right. Like, she's... Yeah, that's... Yeah.
Maybe not, though. She's pretty tall. She probably has large feet. Like, she probably has a hard time finding some shoes.
I can feel that pain.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Big shoes, hard to come by. And so she should have just said, where are my flats? Because you know she wears flats.
With this guy she mentioned that earlier.
I don't have to wear heels with this guy. So she didn't want to wear heels, apparently, like, so she doesn't tower him, all 7 feet of her. And so then she's like, then Sophia's like, you're totally cheating on, like, you're doing a shitty thing. And she's like, I'm going to keep seeing Glenn. There's nothing you can do about it. I'm happy now. And Sophia's like, I know you're not happy because, like, you're going to a motel. And I've known you since since you grew up, like since you were a baby. Like,
I've known you since you were 6 years old.
I've known you since you were 6 years old. Yeah. Yeah, there were some tough times in Sicily. And so Sophia is legit with her Warriors of Wisdom, I think. Like, she's, you know, she's doing what she's, you know, if Rose was her mom, she would have listened to her, but she's not. And so Sophia had to chime in. You're right, right? And so Dorothy says, I'm leaving now, and Glenna and I are going to have a marvelous time. And she says, I hope you go bowling. And she's like, why? Because you can rent shoes there. So she's going to walk into a bowling alley barefoot and just like find some fucking shoes to rent and steal them, apparently.
Yeah. No right. Socks. Yeah.
No socks.
And so then back. Oh, then Dorothy gets mad and she like slams the button of the cassette player and it's like really loud. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which I was like, cassette players, was there like a high button for volume or wasn't it a dial?
Yeah. It was like a wheel. Yeah.
It's like a wheel.
Yeah. It's usually a wheel.
I don't know what model she was listening to.
Right. Like, it's not like a blender where you like just hit something and it's super loud, you know, like it's, yeah. So I was like, I don't understand how that technology worked where you press the button and it, all of a sudden, it's super loud. That didn't make sense to me. And so
she's just getting some revenge because her mom's mad at her for fucking that dude.
Right.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yes.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Okay. And so then the next scene is at the hotel again. And this is the breakup, like the second breakup. Also, Dorothy's like laying in bed, kind of waiting for him to come
seductively.
Out. She's like in deep thought. Like, yeah. She's like laying there and he's in the bathroom. She's just like looking at the door like a creeper. Who knows? What if he was like taking a shit? She's just like, oh, okay.
What if he was? And then right? She's like laying there for a long time and she's like, this is uncomfortable.
I need to break up with this guy. His shits are gross. Right. And so they got the same hotel room.
Yes.
The fucking, like we saw, like, this, the, like, the shot outside of the hotel room, like, the establishing shot, and it was a huge hotel room.
Yeah,
they got the exact same one. They like ganged their shots, dude. Like, they did those scenes at the same time.
It's the cheater suite.
We were talking about it. It's the same room. The staff is in on it. Can't fool the concierge.
They're like, we see the outline of your wedding ring. So you get room 169.
You look like a floozy.
Floozy.
You look like a dusty medicine ball.
Mr. and Mrs. Floozy.
Mr. and Mrs. Medicine Ball.
Very proper burns back in the day.
Dorothy, though he comes out, he's like, we need to separate cars after dinner. And then she's like, I can't do this anymore. If I do this, I'll end up alone and I care too much and I won't let that happen. Which is awesome. Like, she finally got it, you know? Mm-hmm. And so then Glenn is like, I can't leave her. Like, I'm too old to leave her. And
so he's just a cock.
Yeah, he's just a fucking douchebag. Yeah. Like he's like, that's something you do in your 40s when it's like not true. You know, like, it's something you do at any age.
You can leave your wife at any age.
Yeah.
Guys.
Any fucking age. If you're listening to this right now and you have some Dorothy pussy on the side, like, you can do better. You can leave your wife and you can be happy. That's the message of this show.
We just broke up so many couples tonight.
Right. And so she's like, Glenn says, I love you. She says goodbye. And then she leaves forever. And he like puts his hand on the door super dramatically, but it's like on the rules of the hotel.
So he's like looking at like where the fire escape is.
Maybe he was blind. It was the Braille version.
No. He's blind. That explains why he was with Dorothy.
Aww. Dorothy. I love Bea Arthur. And she looks super cute in this episode.
You know, she does. That was a cheap joke.
Was that the scene with her Lion King, like right. Mardi Gras robe? Yeah.
Oh, no, that was a scene before okay. when she came into the night. Dorothy. Her outfit in that scene was ridiculous. I was like, could you hear anything on that date? Because your outfit was so loud, woman. Your outfit was loud. Oh god,
it's Maximum Dorothy.
Maximum Dorothy. Yeah, it's Dorothy. Yeah, okay. And so then she breaks up with him and finally does the right thing, and so then she goes back home, you know, they're back in the kitchen and Sophia's doing dishes, right? And Dorothy comes in and she's like, I broke up with Glenn. And she's like, I'm sorry. And so then she's like, why are you sorry? I thought you didn't like fucking like him. And she was like, well, I'm sorry that you're brokenhearted, whatever. Help me wash dishes. And so they become friends again. Yay. And then Blanche and Rose come in and they're like, Blanche, you were driving your car too fast. Even though, like, she almost cheated her of, like, twice the amount of money for that car. And it was a fucked up car. Rose is still, like, best friends with her.
She had to walk home 4 miles. From the market.
Yeah. They don't even care to look for the car. They're just like,
whatever.
Like, and she's like, well, that's not why that cop was chasing us, following us. So they were like involved in a cop chase? Like, I don't like what the fuck happened in that, like, okay, so I don't know why they're going back out to drive. The cops are looking for them.
They lost the cop.
Yeah, they lost the cop. Like
a high speed chase in Miami.
Hours,
right?
You're on the news.
And then and then also it doesn't make sense, like, okay, they're wearing, it's the same day, they just lost the car, the car got stolen, they don't even know if it's lost,
right. they just bought
the car that night and it was dark out when the car got stolen, so they went out and they bought a car at night. I don't know how the...
Insurance refunds do not work that fast. No.
Insurance, yeah. That's,
I don't know much about insurance. That has been established, but I do know that.
You have to have an inspector. You have, like, it takes claims processing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot that didn't make sense. Like, the time frame of that was just, like, ridiculous. Like, if I was an insurance claimist, if you will... Like,
yeah, that's the term.
Yeah. Like, I would be like, you guys are doing fraud, you know, like, you guys just lost.
You guys did so much fraud.
You're like, if I lost a car, if someone lost a car and you saw that they just bought a car for the exact amount of money that you, that cost for you to sell that car for us to pay for that, like, it just wouldn't match. And also, it would take about a couple months. When I got into a car accident, it took like 4 months before I got any money because it wasn't my fault. Like, and so, yeah, that did not make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So we're all on board with that, right?
Totally. Yes,
okay.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah. So this car purchase is ridiculous. So very maybe shady. They stole a car.
They stole a car.
Yeah. Like, they went out there. They found some other... They found... Like, whoever was stealing cars, and they're like, you know what? We want to steal a car. And then, like...
Who do you think initiated the conversation? You think Rose or Blanche?
I think Blanche.
I think Blanche did. I think Rose would go up to them, and then Blanche would...
Blanche should be like, okay, she's not really racist. She just doesn't think things through.
You guys are black. Do you know who stole my car?
And then, like, you didn't own any slaves, did you? Like, she sold me a car. Not a slave.
We were good slave owners.
Good slave owners.
In our family.
We didn't sell shitty slaves. And then.
Okay, so they definitely stole a car. And that's why the cop was chasing them.
That's what the cop was chasing them. Yes. Yes.
That's hot plates.
That's the whole part of this episode we missed. Because that fucking Dorothy's banging around with her ball.
They got their adrenaline up and they want to go. They want to go on a joyride.
They want to go on another joyride?
They're like, come on. Come on.
Let's go cruising.
Can't stop.
So they sit down and Dorothy's like, I don't want to go on a cruise ride, get chased by cops. And so they all sit down, and it's really quiet and really awkward. And then Dorothy's finally like, oh, God, this is depressing. Let's go out and we're cruise girls. And then like, just like that.
Leave her alone. She's going through a bad breakup.
She's kind of broken up. And then they get up and then Blanche is like, I know a place where men wrestle naked in the mud. And then
it's a swamp.
Yeah. Literally surrounding your house in every direction.
Right.
Some dirty Cajun man in mud somewhere.
Right.
They aren't wrestling, they live there. That's their life.
I think hear me out. Because Rose's late husband was into insurance, she learned the insurance game. They were in on it the whole time. Like, she came in pretending like the car got stolen, you know, and they're like, we're gonna split this money, we're gonna get a new car, we're gonna fucking do the shit, yo. Like, right? Because she didn't pay for acts of swine.
No.
And yet she got covered for that. So there's some shady shit going on there.
No.
Yeah.
This is why insurance fraud is why this episode cannot be found on iTunes and Amazon.
All right, well, that's the episode. Yay, did it. Thank you, Matt, for being here.
Thank you guys for having
me. Fantastic. Do you have any shows coming up that you would like to talk about? This comes out on Wednesday, so.
Let's see. The next thing coming up for me would be the Snap Battles.
Oh, dang.
On the 11th of January over at the Tempe Improv.
Nice.
Very cool.
So, yeah, there's going to be a large field of comedians performing against each other.
Ooh. Are they going to be out in a field?
I would hope so. Yeah. There's got to be a field.
The Tempe Improv field.
That's right.
the old Tempe Improv field.
Yes.
Okay. And what's your Twitter handle?
The Twitter handle is @onmatalon. @onmatalon.
Mm-hmm. And you also host a show.
I do. Comedy on Fire every final Friday. It's at the Firehouse Gallery. So this month will be January 30th, and we have Kirsten Alberts and Michael Turner headlining this month.
What? Nice. What? Yay. And I'll be there too.
Yes, Yay. You will. Yes, you will.
Cool.
Genevieve will be this is an announcement, I guess, but you'll be headlining our 2-year show as well, both of you guys. So that'll be a really awesome treat for the show. And Yay. Happy to have you guys out.
Wait, I'm headlining too?
What? Yes.
Yeah. Oh, was I supposed to kidding. Ask him? Yeah. Okay. All right. I did not realize that.
Congratulations, Anthony.
Congratulations.
Booking a show. Okay. Yeah. You're like Dr. Yamamoto booking me. And so, Genevieve, do you have any shows coming up?
Yes. I will be in L.A., from January 15th through 19th, and I've got a show on the 18th at Nerd Melt.
Oh, dang.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm going to be on the Tinkle Twins, which is hosted by Dana Gould and Arden Moren.
Very cool. Congratulations for that. That's so awesome.
Yeah. It's 7:30, $8 at the door. Yeah.
Yay.
Awesome.
And where can we find you online?
I'm at Genevieve Rice on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and all the other stuff.
Cool.
LinkedIn.
LinkedIn.
Find me on LinkedIn.
Still got that MySpace going.
I have not updated my LinkedIn in like 3 years.
I'm not LinkedIn. Sorry. I'm linked out. I'm Anthony DeSimito. You can find me at Anthony DeSimito on Twitter, Instagram, wherever else I'm in. I'm not sure where else. I have a couple shows coming up. I'll be at Copper Blues January 6th. And then I'll be at the New Material Show at Hidden House January 7th. Yes. And Genevieve will also be there.
Yeah.
Yeah, she'll be performing. Yay. And so, oh, and then I have an improv show at the Torch Theater January 22nd. And Funnel Cake will be performing, my improv group. And February 2nd, I'll be at Matt's show. January 30th.
Yeah.
Yeah. And on top of our own personal plugs and Twitter handles, TiffBab, thank you for being a podcast, has their own Twitter. We are at TiffBab on Twitter.
We no longer share a Twitter. We have our own Twitter.
Yes, we have our own Twitter. And it's TYFBAP, which is Thank You for Being a Podcast. That's an acronym. We're also on Instagram. We're on Facebook, but that's the full name, facebook.com/ thank you for being a podcast.com. You can listen to us on whatever platform you listen to us, but we are on Stitcher. We're on iTunes. We are on Libsyn.com. Thank you for being a podcast.libsyn.com. The next episode is episode 15. I forgot the title. Do you remember?
Oh, boy. It's another one about married men and adultery.
Yeah. Okay. I forget. But look it up. Episode 15.
Oh, I know. Bed of Roses.
Oh, Bed of Roses. I love that episode. So it's a great episode that we're going to watch. And thank you for listening. And listen to us again. Yay. Have a good night, everyone. Yay. If it's nighttime.
Yay. Thank you for being a podcast.
Gonna stuff a chicken, gonna stuff the chicken, like my mama taught me, like my mama taught me. Gonna take the chicken.